BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a society that is filled with anger. I mean, there's anger brewing on the political front, whether it be in Washington, D.C., our state houses, or local government. Road rage is prevalent. It gets us so out of control in just a short period of time, and it's led to many undesirable consequences. Anger. It overcomes individuals on very minute issues where individuals lose control of themselves. And sadly, anger has carried over into churches, and churches have split, not due to doctrinal error, but the color of the carpet or how the sanctuary is decorated or, well, you name it, and that issue has likely occurred. And anger has encroached into many a family, including Christian homes, where anger has wrecked marriages and torn apart families, leaving many devastated. Dealing with anger is going to be our topic today on Crosstalk. Dr. Les Olala is our guest. He is founder and director of Building Great Leaders. It's a ministry that's providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. He's a former pastor, a staff evangelist, former president of what was then known as Northland Baptist Bible College. He's a member of the board of directors of VCY America. Dr. Olala, good to have you here today.
It is good to be here, Jim, and especially with this topic.
You know, just so we have a foundation for this topic, I was looking at Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, "Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And in Ecclesiastes 7, 9, it says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." So it seems like there's times to be angry, times not to be angry. Are we talking about two different types of anger here?
Yeah, I think Ephesians, it's a permissive imperative, it's called in the Greek. And there is a time to be angry, but never with sin involved in it. And I think when you see the anger that Jesus manifested, it was that model of anger that I think is referenced there, that is, we are to be angry, but we are not to sin in that anger.
Hmm. So today we're going to be addressing sinful anger in particular and looking at some of the spiritual and physical effects of sinful anger. Could it be, though, that there might be people listening today who are angry and they don't even realize it?
You know, in the last probably 10 years of meetings that where Charlene and I have been involved, we have preached on the topic of anger and bitterness. I think they're closely related. And I have been amazed at the response. Many people, dressed well, functioning well, positions within the church body, but yet sitting in the congregation or in the choir, angry. But many times that anger is directed subtly against God. Somehow, some way, they're feeling cheated by God. If God is the great God he claims to be, why am I going through what I'm going through? But yet it's not visible. It's not there. And when I have done men's conferences, I have seen the response, the tears, the repentance over this thing of anger. And it's not just the society problem. It is splitting churches. And it is grieving the Holy Spirit within the body of believers.
Now, anger can be a very destructive force, can't it?
Well, I mean, if you read Proverbs, if there are 289 references of anger in the Bible, only 12 in the New Testament. But if you were to read just Proverbs, you see the destructiveness of anger. You see it in light of a concept that we see in our society, even in the aspect of road rage. It is very destructive in our society, but also in our homes, in our personal lives.
Mm-hmm. A destructive force indeed happens through anger on just so many levels, and we know it's something that can just eat away at an individual, and you've even indicated it to be more destructive than even smoking or drinking.
Well, I think when a study that was done by Duke Medical School and then work done by Dr. Neil Clark Warren Chuck Phelps, Dr. Phelps, had made allusion to these when I had first heard this concept that Chuck Phelps had brought up, and emotionally and physically, anger can have a more devastating effect than drinking or smoking, what it does to our bodies.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the causes of anger?
Well, I think if we look at the life of Moses, you know, when you think of probably the greatest leader in the Old Testament, no doubt the greatest in the Old Testament, and you see the calling of God on his life, the surrender that he made, he could have been the first, the next Pharaoh, and yet he chose to suffer with the people of God. And yet after 40 years of leading this rebellious people, his anger and his unbelief in God caused him not to be able to go in. And I'd like us to take apart just from the life of Moses, what are some of the causes of anger just from that model? Because we could go into so many different aspects.
What can we learn from Moses?
Well, I think if we turn to Numbers chapter 20, we can find out what we can learn from Moses. Because after 40 years of leading the people, he came to a point where finally he was told by God to speak to the rock to bring water because the people were murmuring. And I think when we look at the things that we can see the cause of anger in him, and I think we can bring that along very clearly in our lives and parallels for us. If you look in Numbers chapter 20, the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there. Now, do you think of who was Miriam in the life of Moses? Miriam played the role of saving him. Miriam played the role of criticizing who he dated. As you remember, that caused a big hassle as they were traveling. I said, "Old typical older sister with the yips about who her brother is dating." And we see that one cause of anger is personal pain. And when there's some type of a loss that is there. And I've seen that so many times. In fact, I have letters in front of me here, some of the things that I have shared many, many times. I have an anger file from meetings, and I have had so many illustrations of people who have come. For example, a man I talked to out in Wyoming at a snowmobile retreat. There were 100 men, and one of the construction owners paid for one of his men to come. He was not a believer. Paid his 2-day salary and paid his way to the retreat. And it was 100 snowmobilers that were meeting up in the mountains in Wyoming, and I was invited to speak to them. And the construction owner said, "I brought a man with me. He's my employee. He's not a believer. But we're praying that he will hear the gospel and get saved here." And so I watched Bill as I would preach, and his head stayed down. And the construction owner came to me after my second session and he said, "You know, Les, I saw Bill writing a lot during your last thing, and he wants to talk to you." And so he didn't come to talk to me, so I sought him out before my last session. And I said, "I am so glad to be a part of being able to speak to you." And I said, "I understand that you might want to talk to me." He said, "I do, but I don't want to belittle you. You said last night that we are sinners." He said, "No, God is a sinner."
Oh, my.
And I didn't wait for the lightning to strike because I thought, this is coming out of a pained heart. He handed me this paper. He actually almost shoved it in my face. He said, "Put that in your anger file." And while I was doing my last session before this, he gave me this list. And he said, "What do you say to a man that he wrote that instead of who watched his mother suffer from a 40-foot fall? I was 5 years old. Watched his father die from a brain tumor. I was 7 years old. Watched his sister become a heroin addict. I was 10 years old. saw his puppy get hit by a car and die. I was 13 years old and who prayed that I would never see my grandmother suffer. I walked in when the paramedics were doing CPR. She died, and who thinks God is a sinner. That's what he wrote in there. And then there's more in the bottom of this. And I said, you know, Bill, God is not offended in what you said because you don't even know the one who loves you with a perfect love. And I'm not going to go into more of the details on that, but after my last session, I was going to my cabin in the deep snow there to get our machines to go back down to the main highway. I turned around, and Bill was right behind me, and he reached and picked me right up off the ground. I said, Bill, God loves you, and I do too. He said, I know. And he gave me his address. There's much more involved, but there's a typical of an unsaved. I have a letter here from a 14-year-old girl in Kansas City after I preached on anger on Sunday night. Had no idea that her father had passed away that previous week. And she said, our family, he taught in the Christian school. In fact, she said, you preached my dad's commencement when he graduated from high school. And she wrote me this letter after I did chapel on Monday. And she said, I had no idea. I said, our family was bitter, confused, and questioning God. You preached that sermon. We went home and asked God's forgiveness for our anger and bitterness against God that had developed. And she said, thank you. Well, I could go on and
personal
on.
Personal pain.
Mm-hmm. And every listener here, if you're experiencing some kind of anger within your soul, and many times you're sitting in church, angry, comparing yourself, but yet no peace, and personal pain, and I could go on, but we need to move on.
There's another main cause of anger as well.
Yeah, people pressure. If you look down here in verse 2, there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses. And I don't think that Hebrew word there is they were whispering quietly to him. I think you had this mob of people screaming at Moses. And I think Moses is thinking, I could have been the next Pharaoh, and I'm putting up with this. But then when you read Hebrews chapter 11, you find the character that Moses had, that he chose rather to suffer. And yet we find that people pressure, and there are people who would give an aspirin a headache. And you and I both know that. And there are people, one guy said, I knew a guy who would make coffee nervous. And sometimes you work with people at work like that. Mm-hmm. They seem to delight in that kind of an aspect. And so you could go on in your mind, what person comes to mind that is a cause of anger in you? And so that is another aspect out of the text.
So personal pain and people pressure. Folks, we're up against a break. We're going to take that break and come back and take a look as to how anger manifests itself, its countenance, what is emitting forth from it? How is it shown? How is it revealed? We'll be back with more information here in just a moment. Our topic today, dealing with anger, our guest, Dr. Les Olala, founder and director of Building Great Leaders. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in solidity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes. Most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that back-to-Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is that of anger. Dr. Les Olela is with us today. This has become a real issue, folks. We're seeing it all throughout our society today, and it's seen, exhibited itself in the church and the Christian home as well. That's why we're dealing with it. It's an important issue to be reckoned with. And Dr. Olela, you have indicated that anger itself has a countenance. What is that look? What is that countenance of anger?
Well, when we look at Moses again, we pick up the reading there in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 20. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou, Aaron, and thy brother, speak ye unto the rock. God very specifically gave instruction, speak to the rock. And before their eyes it shall give forth water, and it shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. First symptom or countenance of anger is sarcastic words. When we get angry, sometimes we start shooting with sarcastic words. The word sarcasm is flesh cutting, that kind of an idea of cutting people. And so quickly we can respond to our children. You know, you will never amount to anything. Worthless. You are a, you know, and whatever we want to say, and we may cut in remarks. We may go and go on. That sinks deeply into the heart of that child. And God said, Moses, speak to the rock. He took on himself to take on the people. Hear now, ye rebels. And so we see it was a sarcastic response that we are so quickly given to.
Sarcasm, it can wreck marriage relationships there as well.
And a word so quickly, so quickly, and it cannot be brought back. It can cut, and it cannot be brought back. We can ask forgiveness, we can humble ourselves, but that word stays in the heart of that person.
What else is part of that countenance?
Well, a self-centered focus. Notice what he says here. Must we bring water out of this rock? What's this we business? God says, you speak to the rock, I will bring water out of that rock. So he's cutting these people and saying, must we? So what he did here was made himself the focus. In other words, he said, this is what you're doing to me. Now you're going to cause me to bring water out of this rock? And oftentimes, in fact, I know in my life, the anger response that I have had, particularly within my family, has been when I've had an expectation and a decision has been made, a child has made a statement or has done something that has affected my convenience, and I made myself the issue, not that child. Remember, our daughter Tammy, she used to drive Kids to Faith Christian in our van, and she'd pick up students on campus and go to school. And I walked out that morning, and I said, Tammy, please be careful. It rained and froze, and there's a light layer of snow on top. I said, please be careful. It's sheer ice underneath. She said, I'll be careful. She was blonde. And so I jumped in the shower, and we had to move our chapel up that day because we had about 200 guests on campus for a basketball tournament, and we were preaching at 9 that morning instead of 11. And so I was in the shower, and my son Stephen comes running back in the house with his book bag on his back. He said, Dad, we're in the ditch. I said, where? He said, just up around the corner. And I asked Charlene, I said, did I stutter when I said it was icy out there? And so I said, well, I'll go and get the Bronco. And Stephen said, Dad, not the Bronco. We are in the ditch. So I went and got the payloader. I got a logging chain and a payloader, and that car had skillfully been worked in amongst the trees at that one bend. And now I'm talking to myself. Of all the brain-dead things I have to deal with now, I made myself the issue. I said, here, I've got to be ready to preach in 30 minutes. And I'm talking to myself of all the brain dead things. And what am I going to do? I'm going to tell kids how to live under the control of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So, right. And so I got the chain, lifted the thing up by the hitch. I lifted the back of the van right up, and I couldn't work it out because there was a little popple tree there. So I had to get that popple tree cut. I pulled it out. The left front tire was flat. And then I finally got home, and now I'm sweating. I have to change into my preaching to be under the control of the Spirit message. And I went in the kitchen again. I said, honey, did I stutter when I told Tammy it was icy? She said, settle down. And she said, you better thank God the only problem Tammy ever caused us, you pulled out with a payloader. And boy, I went on my knees by her bed, realizing the carnality why I made myself the issue. Moses said, must we? And so that's self-centered focus.
Take us to the next point.
Striking. And Moses took the rod and he struck the rock. Well, God said, speak to the rock. The rock was to be smitten once. Then it was to be addressed. And he smote the rock twice. In other words, in that fit of rage, of the pain that he had and the people pressure that he was facing, he had gotten to a point of, well, somebody said, well, you know, when I had reacted the way I did, somebody said, well, maybe you should have had better devotions. I said, devotions was not the issue. My inner man was the issue. I said, if you read what Moses and Aaron went through, they literally saw the glory of God in their personal time with God that morning. I said, his morning devos was not the issue. His dealing with people was the issue. And I said, so he struck, and sadly, so many tragedies in our homes today from anger strikes. My daughter, who worked in the nursing thing in South Carolina, said one of the things she had to battle was to keep her mouth closed in the emergency room when these kids who had cigarette burns and broken bones from rages of fathers or stepfathers. And she said, I had everything I could do to keep my mouth closed, and I had to keep doing what I had to legally do. She said, but it didn't stop me from some of the looks that I gave in that. And sadly, I mean, if we were to go through statistics there, but we're not going to park there, but one of the, Woody Hayes, you remember Woody Hayes? Long, successful. I didn't like him because he was Ohio State. I was Michigan fan. But sadly, one fit of rage ended his career, and anything that could have been said about him, he has one memory in the minds of people, and that he came on the field and clocked that Clemson player and striking.
And there's yet one more countenance aspect of anger.
Well, another countenance is silence, of having the aspect of, I am just going to clam up. I'm not going to say a word. I am not going to do anything. And a lot of people, you know, you either blow up or clam up. And I think one of the other countenances is people just get silent, and they just don't, they just mope. And people say, is something wrong? No, everything's fine. But yet they're seething.
Yeah.
And that's where we see a lot of times in churches where there's a lot of damage being done. And until the annual business meeting, that silence ends. And that the statements are then made, causing great grief.
Dr. Les Olala with us here today on Crosstalk, dealing with anger. And we know that sinful anger was not part of God's design. You mentioned that there is even a calamity of anger. Tell us about this calamity.
Well, the calamity of anger, number one calamity in this context, it diverted from God's plan. God says, speak to the rock. Moses chose to strike the rock. I cannot go contrary to what God gives direct decision. Secondly, it was a marring of God's picture. It destroyed the picture. Not only did it divert God's plan, it destroyed the picture. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it's dealing with murmuring, And then it says, those who were in the wilderness, they murmured. And then it talks about the rock. And what was that rock? Christ Jesus. Three things went with Israel through the wilderness. The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and the rock. And 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and that rock was Christ.
Hmm.
Now, what was the marring of the picture? Christ is smitten once for all. It was not up to Moses to make his decision to go against God's word, because the picture is that Christ died once for all. And it was, to me, a horrible marring of the picture that God had given to him.
And then it also did something else.
It denied the prize.
Mm-hmm.
What was he looking for? 40 years working towards going into Canaan. And God said, Moses, you can't go in. You dishonored me before the people. You manifested an unbelief before the people. You and Aaron cannot go in. And this is what Moses lived for.
Yeah.
God did give him permission to go up and look into the land, but he could not go in. And when you look at what kind of prize can be denied. I talked to a dentist after a meeting. Pastor said, there's a dentist in our congregation. He wants to talk to you. And we went in the pastor's office, and he says, you know, my anger caused my son to lose communication, and he left home, still a teenager. And he said, I know it was my pride. I know it was my anger. And he made the foolish statement, do you think if I took my own life, God and my son would know how sorry I am for how I acted and reacted? And I said, you better take some time off and come up to our house and stay, because your thinking has gone completely crazy. But what prize had he denied? His communication with his son. I mean, it might be a relationship with a relative. It might be a relationship with a brother in Christ. It might be a job. You blow up at work, and finally they say, you know what, pack your things. We don't need you here.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many things that can be lost when a person elects to live in that kind of a world of anger. And so many things that could be a testimony, could be your marriage. I've been at men's retreats, and after this session, men have told me it was anger that had cost me my marriage.
My. Friends, we are just a little bit from a break here, and we don't want to leave you in this state. We're going to take the break and come back, and we talk about some of the responses. How do we respond? What is the cure for anger? How do we get over this? How do we reckon with it? And we're going to be doing that here in just a moment. And also, Dr. Olala has produced a two-part DVD on this very issue as well, and we're going to be offering that here on Crosstalk today, and allowing you to go further. The program is somewhat limitatious, but we're going to allow you to obtain that DVD where you can hear the full teaching on this topic of anger. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Don't go away. We'll be right back talking about the cures and the proper response for anger. We'll be right back.
Christmas has become ground zero in an ongoing culture war where nativity scenes are nixed, Merry Christmas becomes Happy Holidays, and even the word Christmas is considered by some as offensive. Addressing this ongoing battle is the book The War on Christmas, edited by Bodie Hodge from Answers in Genesis. With full-color pictures and illustrations throughout, The War on Christmas provides answers concerning a host of issues and misconceptions surrounding Christmas. You'll learn where the name Christmas comes from. Is it a pagan holiday? What about replacing Christ with the letter X? You'll find chapters on the Christmas star, the virgin birth, the magi, why creation is important to Christmas, and so much more. This book also presents the gospel, which is often lost as this time is celebrated. The War on Christmas is available for a donation of $18 by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Les Olala is our guest today. He founded and directs a ministry called Building Great Leaders. It's a ministry that provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. He has taught on this issue. We have a two-part DVD, a two-session DVD on the topic of anger, and we would like to send this to you, our way of saying thank you for your support of just $12 or more here at Crosstalk, and that will include shipping, includes everything. But all you need to do is call and ask for a copy of the DVD on anger, and our switchboard will be able to help you out and get that resource sent off to you. The number to call is 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. And again, we are just scratching the surface here on Crosstalk on this topic. This goes much more in depth on the issue and can really help you glean the information and hear the illustrations on this topic of anger. And I know many will be helped by this, just as people, so many have been helped in the sessions, Dr. Olala, that you have spoken on this topic, have really been a life-transforming impact upon them after hearing the messages.
Yeah, and many did not even realize how angry they were.
Mm-hmm.
They just accepted it as a normal part of life, and they just lived that way.
Yeah.
You know, get in your car angry, go to work angry,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that visible. But yet, you're not free in your spirit. It is just a nagging thing that goes on, and that's one of the types of anger is that seething anger. It's always underneath the surface. And it spurts every once in a while in what's the thumos anger, and it's the explosive anger.
Dr. Olala, there no doubt are people listening today being confronted by their anger or perhaps being awakened to the fact that they are angry people. There's a variety of ways that people can respond to it. What are some ways that people react when all of a sudden they realize they're guilty of anger?
Well, number one, face it. There are four ways that I can respond. One is repression. Lie to myself. I'm not angry. Somebody says, are you okay? Yeah. Are you angry? No, I'm not angry. Repression. The other is suppression. Lie to others.
Hmm.
Where I suppress it. Yet somebody senses that something is not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at that, the third way is expression. That's what Moses did. And that expression really reveals the inner man. It cannot be hidden for very long. And one of the things, when I introduced this at men's conferences many times, I introduced not saying what sin I'm going to address. And I say there's a sin that men have that very few people know is there. Family members know it. Rarely do people in the church know it. And I build it up to make them think it is some other very vile sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, that sin is anger.
Mm.
And when they come to a point of expression, but we normally express only where we feel comfortable, where our reputation is not affected by it. Like we would not do in church what we feel free to do at home. And we feel a freedom to explode and show this anger in a family scenario, oftentimes with children or with our mate, where we would not do that very same thing. And then the other, fourth one is confession. So I repress, I suppress, I express, or I confess.
Hmm.
And obviously God's plan is admit, say, God, I agree with you, my anger is sin. And the one letter I got from a gal who came actually weeping before I was done preaching, and it was not a church that was loosey-goosey. It was a very organized church, but this lady was the main musician in that church. I was not even finished preaching, and she came out of her seat, was weeping on the steps of the platform while I was finishing a message. And the next, she came on Monday night and handed me this material, and she had written almost three pages of what God had showed her. She said, no one would have ever guessed that I was sitting in church and performing the way I performed, full of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was the, it was so devastating to me. But when she got to confession, up until that point, she was suppressing, repressing, or expressing only in certain contexts. But now before God, she was confessing. And that's where the freedom came in. And when she said, I went to my husband, I went to my children, I went to my coworkers. She was a writer for one of the big newspapers. And she said, I would, in traffic, I would just seethe at anybody who would make an attempt to try to cut me off or whatever. But it was confession. That was the proper way to do it. So face it. That's number one.
Number two.
Focus on God. That's the number two thing. After I've come to God, and I say, God, I acknowledge you are in control of all circumstances of my life. And God, you are conscious of all circumstances of my life. Mm-hmm. And you are concerned about every burden that I have. This lady said, when you talked to me after the service and said, I don't know what your burden is, but I want you to know God cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And we have to come to a point, how do we surrender this? After we've confessed, what do we do? God is in control. I mean, if I were to look at how I react sometimes to things I'm seeing on TV and some of the news releases and things, my wife has to tell me, honey, remember who is in control.
That's right.
Because I have a lot of ideas that are not necessarily biblical. And so she said, honey, remember who is in control. So what do I do? If God is in control. And God is conscious of the needs that I have. What a comfort that is. God knows and God cares. And there's no need for me to carry within my soul that nagging, gnawing thing that literally is eating me up. And somebody said bitterness is drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies. My anger is, I'm going to be angry. What does that do for someone else?
Yeah.
They only see you unraveling. So God is concerned.
God is concerned about what issues we carry, and I know that this also is a very freeing effect of spirit to confess that and get it right before God, and it's only then that we can actually manifest what he calls in his scripture, in the word, the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah, that's exactly, because the third point of heaven is the cure, is face it, focus on God, and manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And many times God brings things into our life that causes us to realize what is lacking of our conformity to Christ. I still counsel myself with the fruit of the Spirit. I'll write them down one at a time. If I'm troubled, if I'm burdened over a circumstance and questioning, you know, why, then I say, okay, is it love? Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to realize that person came into my life to make me realize my love has been plastic. Joy? Is my joy an anchored relationship to Christ? Or is it depending on happenings? Happiness is what we look to for in happenings. Joy is an anchored relationship no matter what is happening.
Yeah.
And peace. It's a settled peace. It's that which, you know, Paul introduced all of his letters, grace and peace. Grace, that redemption we have, peace, that existing process of sanctification in our life that causes us to be settled in him. And we see the love and joy and peace and long-suffering, that which God brings in. And it's the long-suffering that many times that fruit is missing when we explode or when we live with a seething anger because we're not holding under.
And the fruit of the Spirit, so critical. Friends, I'm going to open the phone lines, and perhaps you've got a question on this topic. Maybe you've been dealing with this issue. Maybe you've been wrestling with anger, or perhaps you're dealing with a member of your family in that regard and would like some guidance, some biblical guidance. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Time is limited, so get on the phone right away and call today. Dr. Les Olala is our guest. And friends, again, if you'd like to obtain the two-part series on anger, it's on DVD, a couple of sessions that are put together on one DVD, we'd like to send that out to you. Our way of saying thank you for your support of $12 or more, you can contact Crosstalk at our main switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Dr. Les Olala is our guest, and let's go to the phone lines. We have Mark calling in this afternoon. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my question is this. When the Lord overturned the tables in the temple, I think most people agree that that was righteous indignation. And you already mentioned about, you know, the verse that says, you know, be angry and sin not.
Mm-hmm.
My question is there a time when it's, you know, it's righteous anger? Is there a time where, or can you give an example on how you would, demonstrate that anger in the proper way?
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, that's a good question, and there is a time for that kind of anger, but it is always controlled, not eruptive. When I am dealing with a scenario, I'm under control. I cannot be perceived as having erupted. And if we knew exactly how Christ approached that scenario and what drove that, and I think it goes along with David's imprecatory prayers in Psalms, where he was praying on behalf of God's holiness and righteousness, that he was asking for judgment on the wicked. And I think it's always consistent with biblical principle as well. It's not only controlled, it's consistent with biblical principle. Mm-hmm. For example, there is an anger at unrighteousness, but it's not causing me to sin in my anger against unrighteousness. I am making my statement, and it's always channeled in the right direction. It's always a right focus, because when Jesus' anger was never about himself, Jesus' anger was always about what they were doing to themselves. And there's a big difference there. And I think probably if I were to make a very distinguishing line, it would be that Jesus' anger was never about himself. It was always about what they were doing to themselves. Even when he grieved in his spirit when he went to Lazarus, when Lazarus was dead, and they were on him. If he had been here earlier, he would not have died. He grieved and wept. He did not manifest anger at that point. But when he came to the temple, here these people were destroying themselves, and he was making a point. But that's a very good question, sir.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. We're up against a break, so we're going to come back to the phone calls after the break. Crosstalk here on VCY America. Dr. Les Olala is our guest. We'll be back in just 60 seconds, so folks, stay on the line. We'll be right with you.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Recently, an internationally known pastor based in America was teaching on Joseph and his storing away grain in the years of plenty for the years of famine. And in doing so, he declared that what Joseph was doing was an example of the welfare state system. Nothing could be further from the truth. And the fact that this pastor wants to declare such is really shocking. And more proof of the Marxianity that I warn about in my brand new book at Marxianity.com. If the pastor were studying the scripture in context and even listening to his own words, he would know that he's contradicting the scripture and his own words. Because later, as he reads from the scripture, he declares that Joseph sold the food to the Egyptians. Well, how then is that a welfare state system? Be very leery of the pastors promoting Marxianity.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Les Olala is our guest here today. I'm going to give you a website. It's to Dr. Olala's ministry, so you can jot it down. Perhaps your church would like to bring Dr. Olala in for a conference or sessions. You are certainly welcome to be in contact with his ministry. And Dr. Olala, give us a website and also a phone number where people can be in contact with you and your ministry.
Yeah, it's buildinggreatleaders.org.
BGleaders.org.
BGleaders.org. And my phone number, my personal number, is 906-396-2263.
And if folks, if you have issues that you'd like to discuss with him, perhaps even on this topic, and you're certainly welcome to give him a call following the broadcast, but check out the website, BGleaders.org.
And it will go directly to me.
BGleaders.org, or you may call 906-396-2263. Gordy's holding from Pensacola, Florida. Gordy, you're on the air.
I have a question. Is lying a part of anger? I'm going to hang up and let you answer the question.
Okay. Is there a connection with lying and anger, Dr. Olala?
Yeah, because I think it's a revealer of the heart. Jesus said, that which goes into a man does not defile him, but that which comes out of a man is what defiles him. Hmm. And a lie that comes out of what a man is, the same source of anger comes out of what a man is. And I think just going through Proverbs alone, and very definitely lying can be a cover-up for some other areas, but it both come out of a heart that has been deceived.
Esther is calling next from Las Lunas, New Mexico. Hi, Esther, you're on the air.
Hi. Just speaking of anger today, and I was just wondering, it's hard to, I have a problem with, people that are inconsiderate, when you're in line or something, but then I get angry about it, and then I'm, thinking, I do things, too, that are inconsiderate sometimes that I'm not even doing it intentionally. So I thought, I pray and ask, the Lord to forgive me, because I kind of let people know about what I felt, you should have at least let us know instead of having us waiting all this time. Mm-hmm. When you knew that it was going to occur, and you saw people waiting in line and stuff. But then I say, I've done things that are inconsiderate too at times, so I kind of pray about it, and I'm please, Lord, to help me to cleanse me from those thoughts.
This really goes into that self-centered focus
it
you
does,
talked about.
Right, where it's about me. Mm-hmm. And when I go in there, I let people go ahead of me, because I think, okay, this is not about me here. I am going to let people go ahead. If I see a big basket full of things, and I say, hey, I have a few things, they say, no, go ahead. And I say, no, go on, because you need to get moving. But if I go thinking others, then I don't have that frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to make it about me, but ma'am, you said a very typical source of anger. It's aggravation that comes.
Thank you, Esther, for the call. Steve is next in Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, Dr. Ola, I can really relate to my anger, and it is about me. My anger cost me the love of my life, and that was the woman I'd laid my life down for. Excuse me, it's very emotional, but more or less, words are said, and she went her separate ways, and I went my way, but I asked her to forgive me, but she never talked to me again. So I tried and I tried, but we both love each other, but I guess it was about each other, and it wasn't a true love. But I can, to this very day, I can thank God for what happened to show me my anger, but it did cost me the love of my life.
Oh.
Well, again, you see the fruit of the Spirit that you saw was missing, and you know what? God can work your humility, your admission. You got to the confession level, which is where God can do all the work He needs to in you, and that's very honest.
Thank you.
Sticks and stones can break, sticks and stones, they say, can't break your bones, and words will never hurt me, but you know what? That's an untrue statement because words can really cut deep.
Yeah, they're very cutting and they're sometimes never forgiven.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call here today on the program. Dr. Olala, I mean, he talked about he lost the love of his life. So you talked about some of those consequences, diverted God's plan, destroyed God's picture, denied God's prize, and Steve was an example of losing that prize.
Exactly. And how many have lost their children in communication with their children or with others?
Let me get another question here before the program closes, and I can only imagine the number of people listening right now who would say, I have a spouse that's angry and I don't know what to do.
Well, number one, you humble yourself. And ask, go and say, is there something about me that is causing you to be angry at me? I want you to be completely honest. And that's where we have to humble ourselves. We can be proud and we can say, I have no issues. We humble ourselves. The key to any solution is in the pocket of the one who is first willing to humble himself. We saw that with Abraham. We saw that with David and Saul. We saw that with Christ himself. And I think that's where we have to come to the point of realization that number one is humbling ourselves to be the one to be wronged if we have to be.
Dr. Les Olala with us here today on Crosstalk. And folks, I do want to remind you that he has produced, matter of fact, he does a TV program that airs on WVCY television, Building Great Leaders, and has a two-part session on this topic of anger. And it's put together on one DVD, and if you'd like to obtain a copy of this, it's available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $12 or more. If you're struggling with this area, have a loved one that is, this is going to be a help to you. All you need to do is contact us here at 1-800-729-9829 or by writing to Crosstalk, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. To follow up further with Dr. Les Olala's ministry, Building Great Leaders, check out the website bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org, or by calling 906-396-2263. He'll be glad to talk with you and help you in whatever way he can. 906-396-2263. Dr. Olala, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, what a blessing to be here. Thank you so much.
And friends, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.